Your source for everything paranormal. Para X. The views expressed and the opinions given by the individual host and their guests do not necessarily reflect those of Para X, its affiliates, or its sponsors.
All those things you've been wondering about? Are you ready to go deeper into the realms of the unknown? I hope you've got your walking shoes on, because life is an adventure, and this is the journey. Come on, let's go.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Journey Radio. Jen Cruz has the night off. She is flying overhead. She's attending the first theatrical public premiere of the documentary she was featured in, Cultured Bigfoot, by Bilko Productions. I am filling in for her. I'm Clayton Crawford, and my co-host here is Mark Bueller.
Hey, hi, guys. Mark. How's it going tonight?
We have two very special guests. I would like to welcome. They're personal friends of mine, demonologist Leon Wilkes and his trainee, Paula Frappolo.
Hello, guys. How y'all doing?
Now, Leon, I want to get started and just, I want to ask how you got into this.
It was many years ago. I remember I was always fascinated by the paranormal and stuff like that, and I then started want to do ghost hunts and do you know just normal like paranormal investigations, and I remember about 5 years into it, I got a kind of wake up call. I was coming back from a case, and something just kind of within myself asked me, did I really help these people? You know, yes, their house was haunted. Yes, we had proof of it, but they were still terrified. So then that led me to studying the darker parts of it, called demonology. Many people also call it the preternatural, you know, studying these entities that's never walked the earth in human form. Some people call them demons, fallen angels, unclean spirits. But from there, I tried to surround myself with people who were really knowledgeable, not just these backwoods people that just spawn out of nowhere. You know, that's when I met up with Dave Considine, and Dave Considine took me under his wing, and taught me a lot, taught me more than what I thought my brain could ever handle. from then, I've been helping people who are possibly being afflicted by demonic forces.
That is awesome. I you know, I'm a big fan of the, you know, dealing with the entity removals and the demonology, yeah, and stuff like that. It's always, yeah, been more my thing, as, yeah, opposed to when you get into like the psychic world of like reading and all of that. Like, it's just, that's not my thing.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
This is my thing, and I know this is Mark's thing, and I know it's, yeah, Paula's thing.
Yeah.
So I was going to ask Mark, do you have any questions for Leon?
Well, I just, you know, I agree with you, Clayton. Like, doing removals is more of like my strong point here as well versus, you know, readings and whatnot. I don't know. I guess for Leon, I have a question then. When you do these removals, are you as, you know, perceptive as the normal person when it comes to being able to sense that these beings and, you know, where they are and what they're up to?
Well, when I'm presented with a case, There's a lot of process that has to go down with it. But the one thing that I love, and I wish I had more chances to do, especially when we have local cases here, I like to do on-site interviews. For me, with the on-site interviews, is basically the nail in the coffin, with the on-site interview, I'm able to chit-chat, and I call it chit-chat with the clients. The more I get to know them, the easier it is for them to trust me. Just building that rapport, you know. You can also see the body language. You can also see the sincerity, or you can see if they're just blowing smoke rings. Whenever I walk through a house, you know, I sometimes can pinpoint where it's coming from. Because there are times when an investigation is warranted, but there's sometimes when the investigation is not warranted. Yeah, you have everything you need right there. I'm really able to pinpoint when, what, where, how, why. And that is all dependent really on that really thorough interview session. But then if you're still kind of up in the air, that's when the investigation starts. I was taught that if you know without a shadow of a doubt that something is there, then take care of it. Why wait around for an investigation? Because the more you wait, the more they're being afflicted. Or let's say if you do an investigation and the investigation is not warranted, the only thing you're going to do is tick this thing off more, and then it's going to feed on the family until you finally have a chance to get there. So that's the process.
Yeah, but I also think, Leon, that the last couple of cases that we've been on together, that you've been very perceptive, if not a little intuitive, and known in the driveway.
Yeah, well, the more you do these cases, especially the dark cases, there is something becomes a part of you to where you will become a little sensitive. I don't claim to have abilities. I don't have abilities. I never want abilities. I cannot fathom what goes on with people that has abilities. I probably couldn't handle it. But I am, whenever we come onto a case, sometimes you know. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I get you on that one.
Yeah.
These dealing with these entities can be like, it's a hit or miss sometimes, but if you know something serious, you feel it. You don't even have to have any abilities, and you can like know something is not right.
Yeah,
like watching you work though, Leon. Because I've actually had the pleasure of working with Leon and Paula. They helped with a demonic case that a very dear friend of mine who lives 3 minutes from me. Her and her daughter had a demon that we spent 6 weeks fighting. And Leon came in and helped us finally get rid of it. So I have actually worked with Leon. I do feel that Leon, I do feel that you are really good at reading. Like, you're really good at reading situations, and you're really good at reading people. And you might not say a whole lot, but you read a whole lot.
Yes, I do. I know with my job, I'm a military cop, and you're trained to read body language. You are basically trained to read people, you know, and I reckon that's why a lot of the demonologists that are involved like in this field, they have either been previous cops or previous military. You know, we are very stubborn and hard-headed people. and
for good reasons, too.
Yes. And when you do these cases, you have to be stubborn. You have to be hard-headed. Why? Right. Because these things are going to try to prevent you from dealing with what you're going there to do. And you must have that level of stubbornness. You must have that level of a hard-headedness to the point to where it won't back you down.
Yeah, you got to have the willpower to really stand up to these things. Because if you show any sign of weakness, they will exploit the crap out of it.
That's right. Yeah. Absolutely.
No fear.
No fear.
No fear.
They feed off of that.
That's right.
Like, you know what, I want to say this, in watching Leon work, one of my favorite things is the way that Leon works opposed to others that I have seen. Leon is very much like a therapist. He very much sits the people down, and he makes some, I forget what you call it, Leon, but he makes them go through everything that they've ever had happen to them, bad thing that anyone's ever done to them. Mm-hmm. And anything that they have regrets and shame and guilt about, they have to go ahead and get it all out right there. Yep. Because that's any of those things that they're holding on to could be the hook that the entity or the demon has used to gain access and to gain hooks and like real hooks in them where it's hooked. It's not coming out until it's removed. Mm-hmm. And for it to really be removed, they have to forgive.
That's right. You know, and the way that I like to look at it is we're coming in there to do spiritual warfare. We're there to help. But sometimes you have to be in there to do somewhat of an intervention too. You know, you have to sit these people down. I've had many people where these demons work with attention. You know, they love getting the attention. You know, and the more attention you give them, the more they feed off of it. So I've had several people who were so obsessed with paranormal stuff. To the point where they were the ones keeping things attached to them. You know, I've had people that's been so obsessed with other things other than just the paranormal stuff to where it opens up doors. You know, and I had this one lady. You know, she was so obsessed with the demonology side of things. She was so obsessed with the paranormal, and she didn't realize that she was killing herself. You know, so I showed her a before picture and an after. I said, "Honey, you're killing yourself."
Right.
That was the moment to where she kind of snapped out of it, and then she did want the help, and then we was able through deliverance to actually get rid of these things.
Nice.
Right. Now, Leon, I have a question for you.
Okay.
What is the worst one you've experienced yet?
Bell, Florida, without a shadow of a doubt. This was in Bell, Florida, and I remember this as clear as I'm there now. I got an email from a paranormal team there in Gainesville, Florida, and Gainesville is just about 45 minutes to an hour away from Bell, Florida. And they was telling me that they got this real bad case. I'm like, okay, I'm telling me what's going on, you know. They told me what was going on, and at first I couldn't wrap my mind around the severity of the case yet, you know. And then they started sending me pictures, and they were there at the house. They were sending me pictures as it was happening. This woman was getting gouged, and what I mean by gouged was it's not just regular little bitty old scratches. This won't have scars like to this day. But as she was getting gouged, this was happening in real time. She was getting gouged, and whatever was gouging her was cauterizing the actual wound. So therefore, there was no blood. It was the weirdest thing ever.
Wow.
And a friend of mine, a dear friend of mine, said, "Leon, you might want to be careful because you're heading into Ed and Lorraine territory now, because they've had those cases that bad." So, with a lot of prayer, we decided to take the case, and we went down there, and the woman that I met like at the door is not the same woman that was there when we left. I'm not going to go into personal things. There's a lot of personal things that actually happened, but what sparked this was her ex was a he was messing around with Satanism, and he came up for one I think it was Thanksgiving dinner, yeah, and he just wanted to spend it there with the kids, and he left. And that night, she was in the shower, and that's when it started with the gouging. And what happened was, I asked her. I said, when he left, did you find any of your personal belongings, even a minute belonging, missing? She said, well, I noticed he was rummaging around in some of my drawers. You know,
he cursed her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So. I'm like, he cursed her really bad. She was,
oh yeah.
She was having shadow people come to her at night and dragging her across the floor.
Wow.
There was moments when she was levitating and stuff like that. She wasn't levitating, but they was picking her up and levitating her across the room and stuff. This poor girl was terrified. So when we got there, we sat her down. And I looked at her straight in the eye. I said, "Why are you scared?" She's like, "Well, this she told me about everything." And I said, "Honey, these are already defeated foes." And I asked her what was her religious background and stuff like that. But then we started to go into her life story. We started going to the forgiveness process. We started doing all this stuff. And it's funny. You can actually see through the forgiveness process, through her actually telling the story, you can tell that the weight is being lifted off her shoulders. You know, she'd actually been able to tell somebody the stuff, you know.
Right.
But after that, we went into the deliverance process, and this is a process of prayer. This is a process of trying to figure out what this thing wants, what this thing's name is, you know. And this took 9 hours. This was a 9-hour deliverance process, and when we finally got down to the actual entity. It was a struggle. It and me went head to head, and it couldn't move. It was trying to get up to get to me, and it couldn't move. Because spiritually, you bind a strong man, and they can't get up. So at the end of it, I started saying the St. Michael prayer. And immediately you can tell that it was taking an effect, and finally I asked for its name, and it gave it to me, and when called it by its name, it got delivered out, and it she quit breathing, and passed out. Her eyes rolled back into her head, and me being a cop, I have to know my stuff when it comes to medical stuff, you know.
Right.
And her mama was freaking out. I'm like, don't worry, she have a strong pulse. She will start breathing again, you know. And it was about 10 seconds, you know. We was fixing to get ready to do mouth to mouth and all that stuff, and she started back breathing. The first thing she said when she opened up her eyes is, "I feel different." That's always a good sign, you know. Whenever they feel different,
amazing sign.
Yeah, some of them will say, "Oh, I feel so tired," or some of them will say, "Oh, I'm so hungry," you know. Yeah. But
I'm hurt.
Yeah. But at the end, you know, the one sure way of knowing, and you can always tell that by the eyes. The eyes is the telltale sign. You ask if there's any more unclean spirits left. In the name of Jesus, and you have no more reactions. You know everything is gone. Then after that, we did a house. You know, house didn't take long to do. This thing, after that big fight, it basically jumped ship and ran. So she had no problem since. We kept tabs on her. And yeah, that was one of the roughest cases we've ever had.
That sounds crazy. Hey, Leon, we have a question here from Travis. He's asking, can you dispel demons / evil entities by any faith believed by the Exorcist?
That's a tough question. Can you say that question again?
Sure. Can you dispel demons / evil entities by any faith believed by the Exorcist?
Well, you know, faith...
I think he means, you know, the person you are exorcising.
Okay. When it comes down to it, faith is everything. You have to be able to connect with their faith. You know, we work within the Christian faith. However, I try my best to try to help people that is from the other faith too. You know, when it comes down to it, you just really have to be able to connect with their faith.
Yeah. Right.
Mm-hmm. You have studied other faith. You have studied faith and religion extensively.
Yes.
So you understand.
Yes.
So you have a really good idea of how they work.
Yes.
So you know how to work with each different ones.
Yes.
I did want to add that out there, and
that's
I think
cool.
That's a really good question. Yes,
and,
it is.
So Calm Guest asks, do you notice the room gets brighter after? And I actually will say,
yes.
The removals that I've done too, they do get brighter.
Yes.
It's very cool.
It does get brighter. Sometimes you can smell roses.
I've
flowers.
Some like feathery scents sometimes. It's pretty cool.
Paula, what do you think about that?
I agree. Definitely. At the last two cases that we've done, the rooms have definitely gotten brighter, and just the feel of it as well.
Not even just you can light, really feel the weight lifting off your shoulders.
You can breathe.
That's right.
Yes.
You can breathe.
It's
you
not
can actually
heavy.
Breathe.
You
exactly.
can breathe. Feel oppressed.
Mm-hmm.
You don't feel oppressed. Yeah.
Nope, sure don't.
Yeah, you don't feel like anybody's going to like try something, or you just, you know, it's a nice serene feeling after it happens.
Yeah.
I would just like to bring up the case where we did with Clayton, and I thought it was a little amusing. There are some funny moments, believe it or not, in a serious situation.
Yes, it is.
Yes.
Yes,
there are. Oh, my gosh.
Especially with my comical friend, Melissa.
But I'm thinking of the moment when everybody was in the little girl's room and I was standing in the hallway and the attic stairs were right above me, and all of a sudden the attic door started creeping open slowly but surely. And I finally called Jennifer and said, Jennifer, take a look. Does that? And she was like, Leon. And I just loved it because Leon came out to the hallway, saw that the attic door was opening up, jumped up, banged it shut, and said, you stay in there. I am not ready for you yet. and I love that, but I think it also ties into the faith conversation, because you have to have that strength and conviction in your faith, in your confidence, in your power, in your God, in your source.
Yes.
Or else you wouldn't be able to do what you do. And
exactly.
And I just thought that was such a perfect show of that conviction and that faith and that confidence, not arrogance, but confidence.
You have to have confidence in dealing with these things.
And you have to be assertive.
Exactly. If you're not assertive and you don't come in and establish some ground rules and establish some authority, these things are going to think that they can walk all over you.
Yep.
Yeah, exactly. And they'll do it, too. It's not like, you know, they'll go easy on you.
Yeah.
They'll throw everything they have.
Mm-hmm.
Anything that you're weak to, they'll use it.
And I remember during that case, too, there was a breaking moment. And I call it a breaking moment because this is when you find out what this thing like really is, who its name is. And I don't know how I figured it out. I don't know how Clayton, you and your colleague were just blocked.
It was attacking us hard.
Yeah.
I remember that.
But it was like I don't know how I did it, but I figured it out. And just as soon as I called the correct name, it had that deer in the headlights there, like, oh gosh, you figured it out.
Oh crap.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
She really did though. I mean, you could see her face when you were saying it's all about the place, it really is.
Yeah.
Right. For all of y'all that would like to know, it was the demon Zozo who is known as the demon of Ouija boards.
Yes.
Oh, yes. Yeah, that one's not fun.
And we're not even, because my friend doesn't use Ouija boards. She was terrified of anything paranormal because this thing was with her all her life. And she has been terrified. She doesn't even really watch paranormal shows up until this point. Now she's on this whole spiritual journey with me. We do stuff every week. We do meditation and healing and we do all kind of stuff. But then she was totally terrified, but she was born gifted. She has a very gifted little 3-year-old daughter. And this thing was with my friend Melissa all her life. It peeked in, it came back and it reared its ugly head when she was at her lowest point. She had a major surgery. She went through a major surgery, and she had some other major personal things going on that I will not add, but she was had a very, very hard time in her life. It was a major time for her, and it was very hard, and it came in with, it came back with a vengeance.
Yeah. You know what? And now that you look at it, you know, with these cases, you know, I had a case, I think it was 2 years ago, and it first started off as any Joe Schmo would look at it and be like, well, you just have medical problems. You might want to go see a doctor. But as more that I looked into it, something didn't make sense. This lady was exhibiting the same medical ailments as her father-in-law did, and that made me scratch my head. But what really did it for me is that she was getting thrashed at the mouth. In which, if you know your medical stuff, you know, she shouldn't be getting that, like, at all. Right. She wasn't going through any kind of medical procedures, anything that would cause you to get that of the mouth. And that is what caused me to scratch my head and told me that there may be something more there than what other people know. And we went down there, and this was before I met Paula, and we went down there. And I tested it. I gave her a sacramental, you know, a blessed St. Benedict medal, and she had a negative reaction to it. So that's my telltale sign, just like I did with Melissa. You know, she had a negative reaction to it, and that was my telltale sign that this person might be oppressed, meaning something is attached to them. And we did the deliverance, but through the whole investigative process, and what I mean by that is the interviews, come to find out that when she was 16, her aunt passed away. She was really close to her aunt, And it appeared to her as she's going down the road in the passenger seat, like of a car, and the form of her aunt. And she started talking to it and stuff like that. That was the invitation. And then it laid in hibernation until her father-in-law passed away. She was really close with her father-in-law. And
I'm going to have to stop you right now. Sorry, but we got to take a break. It is 10:30. We got to take a break. We will see y'all back in 2 minutes.
Sounds good.
Your source for everything paranormal. Para-X.
I'm Jenna Valadez with The Basement Files. Tune in Friday nights, 6 p.m. Central, 7 p.m. Eastern, right here on the Para-X Radio Network.
Sunday nights at midnight on the Staring Into the Abyss radio show. Come, get lost with us. In order for the light to shine so brightly, the darkness must be present. Tune in every Monday at 10 o'clock. The Dark Sun Rising on the Para-X Radio Network.
It is the secret of the world that all things subsist and do not die, but only retire a little from sight and afterwards return again. Nothing is dead. People find themselves dead and endure the mock funerals and mournful obituaries. And there they stand, looking out the window, sound and well, in some new and strange disguise. This secret must be told to the world, and they must tell it. Because they're not dead, we know this, and we'll prove it. So join Mike and Dave every Monday night at 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Central for the Odyssey Files. Only on Para-X.
Hello, we are back on The Journey Radio, and I am filling in for Jen Cruz. I am Clayton Crawford. Jen has the night off right now. She's flying overhead as she travels to attend her first theatrical production, public premiere of the documentary she was featured in, Cultured Bigfoot by Bilko Productions. Also, stay tuned after the show tonight as the She Squatchers, Jen and Jenna, are tonight's guest on Radio Wasteland. And I do want to get back to our discussion with our guest. I do want for Leon and Paula to kind of discuss what they're doing and what they're going to be, their work they're going to be doing. And I also would like Leon to kind of go over with everyone and explain to everyone the stages of how it starts with evil entities and demonic oppression and possession and all the different stages, and explain the difference between oppression, possession, and partial possession and full possession. So, Leon, Paula, y'all have the floor.
Paula, you want to go ahead and tell them how we met?
Oh, sure. I had been on the hunt for looking for a mentor. And I think it was divine intervention, Leon. I keep telling you that it was fate that I found you.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. That's how the best things happen.
Tell you, it was just amazing because I had looked many times before and just hadn't really been able to find anybody.
Yeah.
And sure enough, I reached out to Leon and he actually responded, which just thrilled me to no end. And then I think, Leon, it was maybe barely a month.
Yeah.
And we went, you let me come with you on the first, one of the first cases that we did together.
Yeah. Do you remember what that case was?
Now I'm trying to remember. It was before Melissa.
Was it? I believe it was Hell's Bar Dam.
Oh, it was. You are absolutely right. You're right.
In Tennessee.
You know, sometimes this work can be consuming, you know, and seeing fresh faces, meeting new people, you know, being able to share with them what you've learned, what people has entrusted to teach you with, but you can't pick just any Joe Schmo. So the first time I met Paula, I actually talked on the phone. It was in February of last year. And, so we chit chatted like on the phone. I got a good impression, like from her, good vibe, you know. I'm like, hey, you know, less I'm trying to see, you know. And so I met her in Tennessee. She actually met us there so we can do the investigation there. And from then on, I mean, we all meshed. You know, she meshed well with my team. She's meshed well with my wife. You know, my wife loves Paula. And it was a good fit. It was the only fit, really, to be honest with you. So, I know I'm going to be sharing with her a whole lot more. And I'm one of the type of people that believes you learn more by actually doing, you know. So So get your hands dirty and you learn, and you also learn by mistakes too, you know.
Right.
You learn what not to do by accidentally doing the wrong thing. From here on out, it's going to be a long process, but I have faith that she'll learn everything that I set down to her.
I want to just stop you there for a second. I do want to point out that when Leon said you can't just choose anyone, he is very right. This is not a joke, people. This is life and death. People can die. This is not a game. This is not a joke. It is very serious. People can die, you know, and you are saving people's lives. And when those people that you save their lives, they are more grateful. It is the most fulfilling.
Yeah.
It is the most fulfilling
satisfying
thing in this world.
Yeah.
It is.
Yeah.
It's not a joke.
That's right. You know, the one thing for us, you know, is that you meet people at the rock bottom, and right. and you have to be able to coach them. You have to be able to be that shoulder to lean on, like sometimes too, right. to help them build their life, faith, themselves back up to a place to where they can sustain a healthy spiritual physical life in order to maintain the deliverance that is coming their way. So you have to teach them. You have to. They have to be willing to receive criticism. They have to be willing to receive the coaching.
Right.
I'm like, does that make sense?
No.
Yeah.
No, Jeff F. In the chat asked, "Can things follow you from house to house?"
Yes,
they can. I'm gonna answer that one. Yes, they can. And I am not trying to ruffle any feathers here, but I get very irritated with paranormal investigators who are not gifted psychically, and they don't have a clue what they're walking into. They don't have you go in and you stir things up. We actually had an incident on my team who is all gifted not too long ago, a couple months ago, where these two paranormal investigators that a friend of ours knows wanted someone to check them, and someone sent their picture in our group chat, and all of a sudden every single one of us were getting attacked.
They
had been investigating these places for 20 years, didn't know anything, didn't do any type of spiritual prayers or shielding or prayers or shielding or chanting or anything in 20 years. They had 20 years worth of attachments. One of them was infected, and we got attacked hardcore. It took us like 3 days to get it all dealt with.
It took us about 4 days going through all of our group members trying to get the traces of this entity that just sort of like went through our phones through the chat, and it was it was a mess.
Yeah. We had to delete all the pictures and all the chats.
Oh, yeah, all the pictures, all the chats, everything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
But you brought up a good point from infestation as far as that's one of the first stages, right? Yes,
indeed, yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, now talking about stages, many people is taught that that's only three stages: infestation, oppression, and possession. But there's four stages. There is infestation, there is oppression, there is obsession, and then there is possession. Now, with infestation, it starts out like poltergeistic type of activity. You know, things get moved around, knocking on doors, scratching on the walls, you know. But then, as it ramps up, you will have heavy objects like being moved. Now, when heavy objects are being moved, then you know that that's a telltale sign. You have a demonic like in your house. Yep, then from there, Then from there, it will move to the oppression stage. The oppression is when it targets one person and one person only. You know, it gets attached to them. And with the oppression stage, it is trying its best to break that person's will so they can go to the possession stage. Just as soon as it breaks your will, it's in the possession stage, full-blown possession. Now, when you look at obsession, now it can go from oppression to possession, or it can go from oppression to obsession to possession. Yeah. You know, so obsession. Okay,
that's the worst.
The worst, yeah. And when you look at the obsession cases, it's basically when the person get so enthralled in this to where they get obsessed with it. That's when it gets dangerous. That's obsession is never a good thing. I don't care if you are obsessed about a picture that is on your flipping nightstand. You know, obsession is not a good thing. Period. Now the possession stage, that is tricky. Okay, as we all know, huh?
Yeah, it is probably one of the most trickiest things to work on.
Yeah. Now, possession can look like oppression, and oppression can look like possession, but there's a difference. Okay. The difference is the breaking of the will. When you see that there is some transient possession like going on, you know right off the bat, okay. You can see that there's a fight going on. Okay. Is trying to fight for the will. The person is also trying to fight for his or her will too. So there's a fight going on in and out. This person may go in and out of possession, in and out, in and out. But then finally, once it breaks the will, then it goes to possession.
Yep. And you can tell.
Yeah.
You can tell when that will's broken, when it's completely shattered. You can tell, like, the person's eyes.
Emptiness in the eyes.
It's like there's no soul there.
Yeah. You know what?
The eyes are the window to the soul.
Or there's so much fear that you can't see past the fear to see the soul.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And once it establishes fear, it's got you then. Oh, once that fear is established, it's got you. You know, there's a biblical verse that said, God did not give us the spirit of fear, but the spirit of love, power, and of a sound mind. And when you take that into accountability, you know, you have to look at fear is of the enemy. Fear is of the devil. Fear is negative. So anytime it establishes an amount of fear, that's one step it has on you. You know, that is like it's got a one hook in you and it's ready to reel you in. You know, so that's why when I go to these cases, I try, without a shadow of a doubt, I try my best to show them they have no reason to fear. Yeah. Why? Why? Because we have authority over them. So why are you fearful? You know what I mean? So, but when you look at possession, though, there is regular possession, but then there is something called perfect possession. Perfect possession is when the person wants it, when the person has invited it and is loving it.
We call that invoking it.
Yeah, yeah. So yes, I don't care if the Pope come down himself to do the exorcism. It is not going to work. Why? Because a person wants it.
The free will. That's what gets it.
Mm-hmm. It is a free will. Yep.
And we kind of had that, Clayton, with one of the cases that you referred to us. Lee, and I don't know if you remember or not, but he was in Florida. And
yes.
He just wouldn't. It was... And Clayton, you called it too right off the bat, is that he was wanting it. He didn't want to get rid of it, and he kept crying for help, but then when it came down to actually doing the steps and the process that he needed to do, he wouldn't do it.
No.
And Leon was like, I'm like Leon.
I can be very much assertive and a hard you know, I can't say the other word, but you know what I mean. I can be very, very assertive and dominant and very like I don't play. Don't waste my time.
Yeah.
You know,
right.
My time and my people's time, especially my people's time. Mm-hmm. Do not waste our time. Do not waste our energy. Mm-hmm. If you need help and you want help, you will do everything that
That's
you
right.
are told to do.
Yep.
You will do it with the utmost like passion. To get rid of the to get the help that you need and to help yourself, because we can't actually save anyone that can't that doesn't isn't trying to save themselves.
Yeah,
that's right.
That is so
that's true. Right. With what Paula was talking about that one case, you know, I read it like a book when I saw the footage that this person put on online. The first thing that caught my eye was, why is this person filming this? Period.
Right.
And it's just to gain notoriety, to actually gain attention, you know. And that's the first thing I told Paula. I'm like, why did he do this?
That was the Utah case.
Mm-hmm.
Remember the guy that was in Utah? That wasn't Florida, Paula.
Oh, it wasn't? Oh, I thought it was Florida. Sorry.
No,
okay.
That was the Utah case.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I told her I can try to put out there, you know, what he needs to do to actually for him to help us help him. He refused. He never returned any emails, any phone calls. So I said to Paula, I'm done. I'm not wasting my time.
Well, and another thing that I have learned is we do get cases where people are passionate about asking for help, but when you dig a little deeper, we find that there is addiction of some sort.
Yes.
Oh, yes.
Drug addiction, alcohol addiction.
I'm so glad you brought that up.
So
it's in being uncomfortable, I feel like. If you're not in a comfortable, safe setting, then and you always have to be like on watch for something, or like something always goes wrong, then you have that little paranoid fear that it's easy for something to just kind of slip in and be like, hey, here's more to be afraid about. Let me
shoot right.
off of this.
Exactly. The way that I like to operate.
Let's go over the addiction thing and how you like the way that, because I operate the same way that you do with that.
Yeah.
So with the addiction process, if we get a case presented to us and they are addicted to something, you know, I was always trained to treat the physical first before you treat the spiritual, because if you're not healthy physically, you will not be healthy spiritually. And so the process that we happen to go through is number one, go through rehab. First and foremost, you know,
right.
I would like to see them in a rehab at least 6 to 8 months before we even think about going through the process to helping them.
Right.
Because I want,
yeah,
yeah, yeah, and counseling, because I want to see that they are that they are wanting to get help. You know,
they're serious about it. They want it. Yeah. I've dealt with way too many of these cases that I care to.
Yeah.
Right.
So when I see this and addiction even comes up the slightest bit, I back away. I said, well, time out. Here's what needs to happen first. You know, even if I get a little hint that they're not saying that they are addicted to something, but I know without a shadow of a doubt they may need to go seek counseling somewhere else first and foremost, you know. So that's how I deal with a lot of my cases. Even if I get a case where I think the person might be mentally not there, my first thing is I want you to go get a psychological evaluation and a medical evaluation.
Right.
Before we even start the process, because if it's a case where we got to bring in the church is going to want to see that stuff. Right. Well, they want to see proof.
Well, and I was just going to say, too, one of the things that while I was hunting for Leon is I also met with one of the top two parapsychologists in the country, Dr. Andrew Nichols. And he's helped Leon and I with one case as far as the psychological evaluation. Mm-hmm. And I think that's also really important because that does come up quite a bit as whether
it does. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to say, is this real or not? I don't know how to articulate that properly, but there's got to be some vetting, a little more vetting. That's
And since you said the word vetting, I want to express something here, and this may be a little off topic from what we were just talking about, but you're seeing a big, vast majority of people coming out of the woodwork to proclaim that they're demonologists. Okay, when you look at demonologists, okay, number one, I don't claim to be a demonologist. People say that I am. Okay, fine. But that's just me. Now, when people ask me, what are you? I'm just somebody that can help, possibly, you know. Now, when you look at the word demonologists, it is associated with the people like Ed Warren, Tony Spera, Ralph Sarchi, Dave Considine. Those, when you look at the terminology demonologist, you see those people. They are the people that put in their two cents. They put in their due diligence. They have earned the right to be called a demonologist. Even you can even throw in there Ken and Farrah Deal, Tracy Bacon, you know. But when you're looking at demonologists, let me be very, very clear. They have to be trained. Period. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. You cannot read a book and be known as a demonologist.
No.
And the one thing that really irritates me the most is that these people are coming into people's homes and they're trying their dangest to help people and they don't know what they're doing.
Yeah,
they're
those result in some of the worst cases ever.
Yes. Yes, they are getting the people in trouble. They are making things worse. I've had so many cases where I had to come in and clean up their mess. No, I'm not going to name names. That's something I don't do. But one thing I want to reiterate very, very carefully is I don't care if it's just a paranormal investigator or somebody that claims to be a demonologist. Do your research on that person first, because I know for a fact that there have been some people that they called into the home and they didn't know that they were convicted pedophiles.
Oh, wow.
Do your research. People, if you're needing help, get the right help. Keith Johnson, like, is another one. He is a demonologist, period. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. He has done his research. And if you look at all these people, they have one person in common. Ed Warren, period. Ed Warren. So all I want to reiterate is when you have something going on, research the people that you're asking to come into your home.
I think that's a great point, Leon, because like you said, there's so many people out there who claim.
I do want to point out one more thing when it comes to addiction.
Yeah.
Addiction automatically brings attachment, spiritual attachment.
Yes.
Every addict, it doesn't matter what you're, if you're any kind of drug or bad alcohol addict, every single one of them has an entity of some kind. They have an attachment of some kind. Some have multiple. And these entities feed the addiction, and the addiction feeds the entity.
That's right.
This is why it is absolutely imperative. Another reason that it's absolutely imperative that the physical be treated before the spiritual.
Right.
Also, if you treat the spiritual before you treat the physical, it will get worse.
That's right.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. You hit the nail on the head, because with the spiritual aspect of things, it is only the spiritual is only as healthy as the physical. So they kind of work hand in hand. You know, they mesh together. You know, that's why we are made different beings, but all in the one. You know, you got your spirit form of you. You got your physical form of you. And those are two separate things, but you put them together into one body. So when you look at how everything works together, this has to be working on the same level as this. If not, you're going to have some issues.
Right. Right. Absolutely right. You know, and people don't before you allow someone to do any type of spiritual work, I don't care if they are doing entity removal. I don't care if they're doing energy healing. I don't care if they're doing readings. It doesn't matter. You need to check their credibility.
Mm-hmm.
You need to research. You do not just let someone into your home. You do not just let someone into your energetic space.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
especially not your energetic space. You know, but you just do not. You need to know that these people are truly credible and they truly know what they're doing, because it will make things worse if they don't. Yeah. And there's a lot of people that they have good intentions and they want to be what they claim to be, but the reality is they're not.
That's right.
And they don't have the training and they don't know what they're doing and they make it worse.
That's right. I'm absolutely. Yeah.
You know, I don't claim to do anything that I can't do. You know, I don't claim to, you know, like I am a healer. I do some, you know, energy healing. I do removal. But I also, I don't do a lot, you know, there's a lot, I have a whole team behind me. What I can't do, one of my team members can do. One of my team members can't do, I can do.
Yeah. Well,
that's where we picky and we're all gifted, you know.
That's right.
And we know, like, we also know when to turn down a case.
That's right.
We know when, no, we can't touch this, you know, and we learned that the hard way through helping people. We had one lady that that was actually having sex with a demon, and we went in, and I bet Mark removed that thing 6 times.
Yeah.
Finally, after the 7th time, the lady that was on the paranormal team tells us, oh, well, she's having sex with it. And I'm like, okay, now I'm irritated, because I knew that she knew that before, she knew that way long before she told us that.
And she didn't tell you.
I was pissed.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I was so mad. You know what I mean? Because here you are wasting our time and energy, and you're trying to get us caught. You're trying to get my team caught in a trap, an energy trap.
Yep, and that's what we call a diabolical setup.
Yep.
Right, right.
I've been a victim of those a couple times.
It is 10:59. It has been an amazing show. I want to thank the wonderful Jen Cruz for allowing me to fill in for her. Jen is on in flight, on getting ready to be a speaker at an event. I also want to thank Leon. I want to thank Paula, and I want to thank Mark and Sarge. Mm-hmm. Thank you
as well. Thank you for having us.
It's been fun. Everyone, this is The Journey Radio. Go check us out. Like our Facebook page. Check us out at thejourneyradio.com. You can look us up on Facebook, The Journey Radio. It's thejourneyradioshow.com, excuse me. At para-x.com, you can find us. And, of course, like the Facebook page. And I just want to thank you all.